Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Okay, joining me now, my guest, who's kind of new to Santa Barbara. He's a CPA. He became a developer back in 2003, working up in the Seattle area, building custom homes, and which is where he helped found and was executive director of the National Passive House Alliance. So today's topic is passive house building energy standards. Today's guest is Tom DiGiovanni. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Tom.
Thank you, Mark.
So you are in the financial business, the CPA. You started delving into development. And what made you lean towards, you know, discovering, I don't know if you discovered this, but you helped found the National Passive House Alliance. How did that come about?
Well, I've always been interested in green building. That's kind of the catch-all phrase for doing something that's sustainable and better for the environment. And in 2008, I came across the Passive House Building Energy Standard. It's something that started in Germany in 1990 and has just recently come to the U.S. in the last few years. And what Passive House is all about is basically building a better structure that's super insulated, that is easy for people to use, but saves a tremendous amount of energy, provides a better health environment for the occupants, and a lot more comfort for those using the buildings. And so when I learned about Passive House, I got really excited and said, this is really what I've been looking for. It has specific performance targets that are measurable for energy reduction. It's a better way to build, and it's proven in Europe. There's over 30,000 structures that have been built. There are hundreds that have been documented and tested, and this is a proven technology or technological approach. It doesn't rely on expensive things like adding solar power or geothermal or other things that can really raise your per square foot cost. And it's something that just makes a lot of sense going forward. So once I found out about it, I decided I wanted to get more involved. I went and took the Passive House consultant training courses so that I can design these buildings and kind of walk people through it. But it's really exciting. Some of the studies that I've seen, the buildings are so much ahead of where we are in the United States and the way we typically build that it's pretty impressive.
And visually, can someone walk by and look at a house and go, oh, that must be a house that was, it's a passive house?
You really cannot tell from the outside because you can build in any style. The only way to really tell, most of these houses, the walls are slightly thicker than you would see in a standard home. So if you were inside the house looking at the windowsills, you'd maybe see the windowsills are a little bit deeper.
You got natural bay windows in every window.
Almost. But the thing is that what you're really doing is you're downsizing the HVAC systems. So instead of putting a 100,000 BTU furnace, you can use a 10,000 BTU or equivalent, what we call energy recovery ventilator. And that's something that keeps the air, fresh air moving through the house 24 hours a day at low volume, rather than, jamming a huge amount of air through the home when you need it.
That was going to be one of my questions because you sent me a link to about a 5-minute YouTube video. And if anyone would like to receive that video, you could shoot me an email at mark@radiorealestate.com. And it was very interesting. And they talked about, and we'll get into the specifics of construction. And also, don't let me forget to ask you about people who want to maybe retrofit homes.
Right.
And how far can you go? Kind of tough to add walls, but make them thicker. And I did have a client that built a house, sold them land, and they built a house with a straw bale now, which is probably 18 inches thick. Does that in and of itself, do you think meet the standard of insulation?
In and of itself, it probably wouldn't meet the passive house standard. But you have to remember, passive house is non-prescriptive, meaning you can use any type of wall construction. But it's more than just insulation. One of the things that is typical in U.S. construction is there's been this phrase for years and years that the house needs to breathe. Which means air movement is coming in through the walls and around the cracks and the windows and all that. And passive house does away with any air movement coming through the walls or almost all of it.
Well, that was, and you mentioned that about your recovery system and the ventilation system, and that was on that video. And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you about specifically. So we might as well jump into it now. Because the three things they mentioned was insulation, ultra high performance windows, and airtight.
Yes.
And so immediately, you know, I mean, when I grew up back east, and we had, you know, it was cold, and, you know, my dad was a pharmacist, and he always wanted a little crack of the window, a little fresh air, ventilation. We had radiators for heaters, you know, the steam pumped up to the apartment and heated these radiators. So it wasn't forced air gas, which was nice. It was more of a passive kind of heat, if you will. But, and then you read about today, you know, we have, what's the radon? You know, and if you build a house in the foothills of California in Santa Barbara and certain areas, and you have it airtight, locked up tight, depending on the foundation, if you have a good foundation with ventilation, you're probably okay. But if you have a slab and you just lock it up. So I first started thinking about, what about the negative of being airtight?
Well, an airtight's a little bit of a misnomer. When we refer to airtight, we're really saying we're going to introduce air into the structure in a controlled fashion rather than an uncontrolled fashion. Because in typical construction, there are air leaks everywhere. There's air coming in through the foundation and the way the foundation meets the walls. There's air coming in through the walls, around the windows, under the door. There's air coming in through the roof. It's coming in everywhere. And so what you're basically doing is you're heating to or paying to heat or cool that air, as the case may be. And there's nothing to prevent you from opening the windows in a home that's built to the passive house standard. But when the windows are closed, you're controlling air movement by eliminating all the air that's normally coming in through the walls or the windows, and you're bringing it in mechanically using this energy recovery ventilator. And as I said a few minutes ago, it's something that basically introduces low-flow, filtered air 24 hours a day. So you've got fresh air coming into the structure, and you've got stale air being exhausted out of the structure continuously. And what we've found, and there's a number of studies on this, is that people who live in these homes, because there's no air coming through the walls, the mold issues and all of those kind of moisture issues that are related basically vanish, because you don't have air and water traveling through the wall cavity.
It could very well be moist air.
Right. And generally, when you have mold issues, it's because somewhere in the structure, moisture has penetrated a wall, you've got air movement and a temperature change inside the wall that allows mold to grow. And that, you know, basically gets introduced into the home, and then you have all kinds of breathing problems. So in passive house, you've basically eliminated that entry point for air and or moisture intrusion. And instead, you're bringing fresh filtered air in 24 hours a day.
It sounds like the cabin filter in my Acura TL that I change every so often, that basically is the filter for bringing in outside air.
It's a similar concept, but
obviously nowhere near. So the house is hermetically sealed.
Almost.
If I knew exactly what hermetically means or defined, you use that term a lot.
And basically in passive house, what you'll see is it's not really hermetically sealed. There is some little bit of air movement, but the standard for air movement, just to give you a reference point without going into all the scientific data, the standard for passive house is 1,200% more strict than your typical building code in the United States.
You know, I think it's very interesting. We're talking with Tom DiGiovanni, who did some developing up in Seattle and helped found and was executive director of the National Passive House Alliance. And we're just talking about the idea, and we'll get into some retrofitting for folks, because most of us aren't going to go out and build a home today, of being able to take advantage of some of this. And you mentioned air and mold and draftiness and construction. And, of course, water intrusion. You know, when you have places, you know, if you have gaps, you're going to get air. The last thing you want is water intrusion into your house. So if you can keep it that solidly, you know, then it's dry, let alone the air.
Right.
And little critters, you know, construction,
that's right.
You know, my listing up on the Riviera, you know, no rodents in the house. But it's a huge raised foundation with big, you know, which is great. And there's a stand-up basement. And it's, you know, but there were rodents down there. So we had to hire Lens Pest Control. They come out there. They had to find all the little cracks and seal them up and block and trap. And now it's fixed. But it's an example of, you know, the advantage, I guess, of just, you know, having it air, you know, airtight, watertight, rodent proof.
Right. And while it's interesting in passive house, the reason it says that we use the term passive is that it's really passive for the occupants. They don't have to do anything to improve their living conditions or lower their energy bills, the house basically, or not only houses but schools and office buildings. The building does it for them, but the devil is always in the details. And all of the things that you just talked about, sealing up the cracks, making sure the walls are airtight or as airtight as possible, that all happens during the construction phase, whether it's new construction or renovation. and it's very, very carefully planned, and there's a pretty sophisticated software package that we use to model what the building will look like when it's finished, and we can tell where there's potentially going to be an issue. In a renovation project, for example, where the foundation meets the walls, that's typically a big thermal bridge is what we call it, where it's going to let either cold or hot in from the outside to the inside. And so those things are addressed in the planning phase. And by the time you get to a finished project, all of those things are eliminated. So the typical avenues for bugs or rodents or mold to get into the structure have been eliminated because you think through all that up front.
You know, it seems like green building and, you know, reputable contractors today and people with the money and the wherewithal and the forethought are saying, hey, you know, I want to put this door in. I want a door with a really good sweep or a seal or, you know, all this kind of thing. And I'm just wondering how many contractors, as they're searching or they're going to their standard sources, are they exposed to the construction techniques that you're referring to, or, you know, or how does one really learn more about this, and where can they go to find out more about this?
Right. Well, right now, this is really a specialty field in the U.S. at the moment. There are about 500 people who have been trained and or have been certified to plan and kind of design these projects. And contrast that with Europe, where there are thousands of people, and this has been going on for 20 years. But there are places to go.
Are you one of the 500?
Yes. And in the U.S., there are a number of different places you can go to do more research. If you Google the Passive House Building Energy Standard, you'll find a number of websites. And I'm in the process, now that I'm here in Santa Barbara, of setting up a new one, calpha.net, calpha.net. That'll be live by the first of next year. If you go there now, it'll take you to a Passive House information page. But there are a number of places to go to find more information. But really what you're seeing is the early adopters of Passive House in the United States are people who are concerned about energy efficiency, the 75 to 90% energy savings you get from a typical structure. So imagine if you were building a 3,000 square foot or renovating a 3,000 square foot house, you'd use the energy of a 300 square foot house. And that those numbers stay in that proportion all the way up. And the other thing is, this is really good for schools and office buildings. There are kindergarten classrooms and things in Germany, and they've shown that because the fresh air is higher and you get less CO2 in the oxygen or in the atmosphere inside the building, kids are more alert. They learn better, and the same goes for occupants in homes and office buildings. They find that because these things are designed better, and they're healthier to live in, that people tend to do better things when they're inside these buildings.
Just a healthier, it's kind of a coincidental that you mentioned kindergarten in Germany, because that's a German name. Kindergarten,
right,
is. Okay. Talking with Tom DiGiovanni about his Passive House Building Energy Standard involvement, new to Santa Barbara developer. I just made a note, you know, I'm going to email Trudy Carey, who is a developer in town. She's an architect, she's a contractor, and she's a broker. And for someone to have all three of those hats, let alone a woman, probably not a lot of women contractors, and so I'll have to let her know and have her listen to this interview. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com, 452-2428, 452-CHAT. You know, I probably have a few more questions. Maybe we should just take a breather here and come back, and we could finish up whatever we haven't done in the third segment, and then if we finish up right away, you could just take off, and then I'll go back and do some other real estate stuff. So how does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay, 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Now go buy the right house.